This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to eighth time. They get their work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Etienne in trouble, and he's going to be buried by Neville Hewitt, but they're going to keep him out at the one, the officials say. In any case, it is over. The Houston Texans come back to beat the Jaguars 24-20. A final drive to remember as Stroud found Dario Gunbowale for the game winner. Defense just had to kill the final 12 seconds. And the Houston Texans go to 3-1, solidifying their lead in the AFC South.
The goal for us every week is to win. There's no such thing as an ugly win to me. Like, you finish with the win because, as we know, in this league, wins are hard to come by. It doesn't matter who you play. So, man, I'm just proud to get a win. And it doesn't matter to me how we win them. Just finish with the win.
That is where we will start today. That is where we will start on a reaction Monday, a victorious reaction Monday. And I think that cannot be lost on us today, is that this team is 3-1. They are 2-0 in the AFC South. I know there was a lot of laundry on the field yesterday. I understand that. I get that. But as we welcome you in on a victorious reaction Monday, that is where I choose to start because, yes, they indeed did win the football game yesterday. Thank God CJ Stroud is the quarterback for this football team. As we welcome you in, I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne.
Yo.
How you feeling this morning?
I feel good. Which game was it where we came in, we decided, when we realized, gosh, you know what, I think it was after the Sunday night game. We were like, we're probably a little too negative after that win, like, and forgetting that
2-0.
They were 2-0.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel more justified now in that, even as the Bills looked very mortal last night versus the
very
Ravens.
Mortal, yeah.
That there's things on this team where you get, it's like being frustrated with your child who is an A student but is getting B's.
Yep.
Right? That's, or at least you know they have
exactly
the potential.
What it is. Yeah.
You're like, come on.
Yeah.
Like my brother and I. My brother was a C. Well, they used to think he was dumb. It turns out he wasn't at all. And they should have. Yeah, but he was a C student. So right. It's like as long as he was not failing and getting C's, cool. You're good to go, man. You know, But other siblings in the family,
such as,
come home with a B plus. I'm like, what's going on, Seth? Yeah. Well, it was, you know, that's how I feel about the Texans right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You're capable of so much more. Why? Why are you doing all these things?
Why are you making it so hard on yourselves?
Why are you hanging out with those shady kids? They're no good for you.
Right, right, right. So let's start with the win though. Texans win yesterday.
No. What did he say? What did he say? No ugly wins.
No ugly wins.
No toothy. No ugly wins.
No ugly wins. D'Amico Ryan said it yesterday. No ugly wins. They're 3-1. And this is and we're going to hear from D'Amico here in just a second. In fact, let's do it now. This was D'Amico. Yeah. This was practically an opening statement yesterday that he did at the press conference, because D'Amico knows that they can't keep getting a dozen penalties every game. For the third straight game, they had 11 or more penalties. They can't keep doing this. He knows that. But it is a win. The Texans are 3-1. I will remind you that a little over a year ago, this was a team that everybody thought was going to be one of the three or four worst teams in football. Now they're being judged, and I think appropriately so, like a team that aspires to be one of the three or four best teams in football. It's remarkable that that's happened in a year. But this is where we are. Here is D'Amico Ryans on how proud he is of his guys.
Wow. What a game. What a battle. Very proud of our guys. We talked last night in our team meeting just about, like, whatever it takes, whoever it takes, and however long it takes, let's just find a way to finish this first month of the season 3-1. So very proud of our guys for finishing the right way. As we know, a lot of things to clean up for us with the penalties. It's like we're trying to break the record for most penalties in the league, which we got to clean up. This is our third straight game of over 10 penalties. It's just, you know, not good enough. And we have to find the guys who want to do it right all the time and play clean football there. But very proud of the effort from all of our guys. CJ, they let us down when we needed to. Darre stepping up big time for us. And Nico, and he's been lights out this entire year. Like, to start the season, like, being the NFL's leading receiver, he just shows up every single time we need a play. Nico is making a play. So I'm so thankful and happy for him that he's on our team.
Oh, I'm thankful for Nico, too. I would save that for November, late November, where he'll have had, what, 8 more 100-yard receiving games?
Yeah.
Most likely,
yeah.
By that point. You and I were talking before the show, and you said, thank God they have CJ and Nico. And I said, you know, in a lot of ways, this this team, it's kind of like the 2004 Texans, except it's like with Andre Johnson and a much better quarterback.
A much better version of the quarterback.
So it's not, as far as the actual wins and how they've come by them and everything, I'm like, yeah, I feel like if we just swapped QBs, we might be the exact same teams.
Yeah.
That's why it's frustrating at times. Look, it was 5 straight punts in the second half.
Yeah.
It was astounding how inept and ineffectual they were. And yet, that final drive where they really weren't in, it didn't feel like hurry-up mode. It almost felt like a 4-minute drill where you're trying to grind down as much time as possible. But they moved methodically down the field. And I think the fact that Ogunbowale and Dalton Schultz and others were big parts of that drive, to me, when I'm looking at the team over the course of the first 4 weeks, you got to figure out who you are, what you can do, how you're going to make your money. And, you know, maybe they learned some things, because defensively as well, you pointed out that they somehow just hemmed it up in the fourth quarter.
That Tank Bigsby run was the last good play the Jacksonville Jaguars had on offense the entire game.
After, right, Kalen Bullock saves what appeared to be a touchdown.
Would have put him up 10.
And the run defense, which allowed 158 yards rushing on the day, makes a very impressive goal line stand. And maybe that was a turning point in some regards. You know, maybe they figured some things out. But I did, after being really, really frustrated for a long time in that game, at the very end, you know when you can tell. I think in the fourth quarter, I just felt like I'm not going to be happy no matter who wins this game. I feel like I'm just, nobody deserves to win this game. I surprised myself by, after that win, kind of feeling like, you know what? All right, I got to quit being a jerk. That was gritty as hell. Dude. That was gritty as hell in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, dude, look, by the defense on the last three drives.
By the whole team, yeah.
I'm just listing. By the defense on the last three drives and the fact that with 2 minutes and 54 seconds left when the Texans got the ball back at their own 31, despite them having punted five straight times, my confidence level was very high that C.J. Stroud was going to go do something positive on that final drive just because that's who he is. You're right. Sometimes relief is joy. I was relieved after that game yesterday more than anything else. You needed to win that game. If we're coming in here today and they're 2-2, and I know the Bills got destroyed last night, but that's a good football team coming into town on Sunday, the Bills. If you're coming in 2-2 with the Colts now tied with you in the division, the team you just beat 2 weeks ago, and you've got Buffalo and two road games afterwards, that's tough sledding. They needed to win that game yesterday. So, yeah, man, like sometimes look around the league. You know, like look, like take a look around the league and see what the records are of some of the teams that we're expecting as big of things as the Texans are this season. Like, yeah, it's a crazy year so far. It's a minefield for everybody so far. I know a lot of the Texans' wounds are self-inflicted, and that's what makes it so frustrating, is it feels so fixable and so careless. All these penalties, that makes it very frustrating. It also makes it fixable, and it makes it, hey, man, we're 3-1 through all this garbage that they've gone through in the first 4 weeks.
I think that's ultimately what it ends up being, is a reminder that even though on KHOU last night, Jason Bristol made a good counterpoint to something I said. I talked about the youth and, you know, some of the things that it's hard to believe and accept, but there are some really good young players who are going to get better. At least that's the way it should work, as long as you're getting coached up. Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter will get better. I think if you look at yesterday's game, the thing I kept thinking was, my God, if Sam Darnold was the quarterback of the Jaguars, they'd be getting crushed right now.
Yep.
Because Kamari Lassiter had a couple. He bit on the double move the one time. He got beat on a go route another time. Yeah. But these are the things that good young rookie players do. You know, Derek Stingley was a better player in his second 8 games in the NFL.
Yeah.
I can't remember when those finally came. But seemed like it took forever.
It took a while.
But so that'll improve. Offensively, I think, look, we can say, you can almost use penalties as a synonym for offensive line right now.
Sadly.
I guess fewer false starts, but, or was it just fewer by Laremy Tunsil?
Laremy had no false starts. He lined up properly the entire game, but then in the fourth quarter, he had two crippling holding penalties.
Yeah. It looked like Shaq Mason got screwed on at least one of those.
I haven't watched that close enough
to see what movement the defensive lineman thought there was. But, look, Laramie's, and as was pointed out on the broadcast, and a friend of mine who was an offensive lineman in the NFL said the first lesson his college coach told him his freshman year was, if you're an offensive lineman and you're wearing bright colored gloves, you're a moron.
We had somebody, we've already had a text about that to the show 3 minutes ago. Maybe our old lineman should stop wearing red gloves and the opposing team is wearing white uniforms.
What's my biggest issue that I forgot I'd even said, but a bunch of people reminded me via text? Oh, the Instagram OTs. They're not OGs. They're Instagram OTs.
They're fashionistas.
You got to have a little flair.
Oh, yeah.
How many flair buttons do you have today, Titus? I've got so much flair. Look at my red gloves. They're going to see how sweet these hands are my red gloves.
Red, bright red gloves against a white background. So I think the themes from yesterday, look, the CJ and Nico combo is special to watch. No question about that. Nico's making a run at Offensive Player of the Year here early on. Yeah. He's already fifth on the odds board last week, and now he goes 12 catches for $150 yesterday. His catches are so big, too. They come at such crucial times, it feels like.
The one thing I'm wondering, too, and this is not a huge problem, this is not like a number one on my list of concerns or anything. There are times where, man, because CJ is so good in the scramble drill with Nico, I worry that they might develop the bad habit of extending plays a little too long than just waiting for somebody to come open. You know, we used to see that with Deshaun and DeAndre.
Yeah.
Because, man, if you just wait long enough, listen, CJ, sometimes you just got to accept reality. This is not the offensive line to do that behind.
No.
Although pass protection improved in the fourth quarter as well. They figured some things out. Well, but
that Josh Hines-Allen got concussed.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he missed the last quarter and a half of the game. But they took advantage on that last drive. So Texans win 24-20 yesterday against the Jags. 3-1, 2-0 in the division. They're leading the division. Hell, if the Chargers could have found a way to beat the Chiefs yesterday, that game was 10-10 late into the fourth quarter. The Chargers could have found a way to beat the Chiefs. The Texans would be the number one seed in the AFC right now.
I said yesterday, I said, hey, all you people who were really concerned, and you remember I was trying not to be a grumpy old man about it. But, I was trying real hard not to be a grumpy old man about, hey, the Texans acting kind of like they've arrived and done something already. Like, there's a level of confidence and braggadocio that I'm like, I'm not so sure I'm comfortable with this.
We're there.
I felt like, after the game, I felt like, hey, look, even though the Texans won, you were proven correct in
you're
that.
You're justified.
They're playing like a team that doesn't quite understand what kind of an edge they really need to win. And yet, in the standings, they've kind of arrived.
The Chargers could have closed the deal yesterday. They're number one in the AFC.
Doesn't change the way I feel about it at all. But you're right. It's a good reminder of just how haphazard everything is.
Yeah, dude, the house is not burning down by any means. That's what I would tell Texan fans. All right. Let's circle back. The Texans, I don't think they got Doug Peterson fired yesterday, but boy, they sure had him pointing fingers after the game. We'll have that for you. And we now know who the Astros are going to be playing. We got to react to that as well. We know this is storyline wise. This might be as good as it gets in the wild card round around baseball, the Astros series. And we'll tell you why coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Reaction Monday. After the game yesterday, we heard from D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico's happy with the win. We'll hear his locker room speech at the top of the hour to the guys. I think D'Amico, I think, is trying as hard as he can within the joy of winning to still get the message across that this is not right. This is not good.
Yeah.
We cannot keep getting 12 penalties
right.
a game.
I think honestly, and I've been very busy and not really been checking in on comments on social media and everything. I'm guessing if people are starting to wonder, you know what? All right, D'Amico's a hell of a positive guy and everything. But maybe it's time for a little bit of a dressing down. Are we in danger of D'Amico being a Ned Flanders here? Where basically...
Hi-ley-ho, Laramie. Nice hole.
Laramie Tunsil is Homer Simpson digging a hole in Ned Flanders' yard. And D'Amico is saying, hey, Laramie. Great to see you today. Here's the thing. Could you think it'd be possible for you to stop stabbing us in the face with these penalties? Could you stop doing that? Laramie's like, nope. I got to keep these pressures down at all costs. Got to be sure no pressure's allowed, no matter how many penalties I get.
Could you stop hole diddly olding?
Yeah.
That would be great. All right, so let's. So we know where D'Amico's at, and we'll hear more from D'Amico in a little bit. We're going to get to the Astros in just a few minutes here as well. We now know who they're going to be playing. But this was Doug Peterson. This was Doug Peterson after the game yesterday, Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. His team put up much more of a fight yesterday than they did on Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills. Yet they're still 0-4 in a season where the owner has called this the greatest assembly of talent in Jaguars history. They remain one of two winless teams. Both in the AFC South, by the way. The Titans will try to get off the schneid tonight on a game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. Here's Doug Peterson. He was asked about taking play-calling duties back from his OC, Press Taylor.
Yeah.
Here's what he had to say.
Take the headset over, just change this thing up.
For what? I thought he called a great game. We as coaches, we can't go out there and make the plays, right? It's a two-way street. So, you know, you guys can sit here and point the finger all you want, and that's fine. Point it right at me. I can take it. Okay? I can take it. So, whatever you want to ask me, say, whatever, write, go ahead.
Point the finger right at me.
Yeah.
After he said, guys, got to go make plays. Point the finger right at me.
I'll tell you one thing. I mean, I, I don't know if all the players should get mad. Maybe Trevor Lawrence should just say, well, yeah, I mean, look, I did airmail some wide open wide receivers. We had every opportunity to put that game away, really, in a lot of respects. Against the Texans offense, that couldn't get the ball moving. If I could just throw within 3 feet of wide open receivers, we might be all right. So I don't know. That's what I would do if I were if I were Doug Peterson. I'd get up and look. I see people are concerned that I wasn't supporting you guys, and I was saying the play calling was okay. Mostly, I was saying that Trevor Lawrence. We can't be giving Trevor Lawrence a bunch of attaboys. Where did he break the 60% completion mark?
I don't know that he did. I'll look up
He came in with an Anthony Richardson like 52% completion percentage.
Yeah.
But man, he missed some really easy opportunities for big plays.
Did he ever?
That was one of the frustrating things about yesterday. The other big part, the fact that special teams have been such an issue for this team, and two of its victories made very, very close because of special teams.
Way closer than it should have been.
Blocked punt in the first week, yep. And then you have Steven Sims, who just had a complete and total meltdown yesterday. I mean, yeah, it was bookends, right? In the first quarter, he muffed the punt, and then was it in the fourth quarter when he had the penalty on the sideline?
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was. And the penalty was an unsportsmanlike. After just sort of catching the ball, you know, it wasn't after a return where a guy popped him or anything. Like Steven Sims, it was an angle punt towards the sidelines, and he just catches it and kind of walks out of bounds, which is what you do there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's laundry on the ground. Like, what's going on?
He almost made the same mistake. Not that it would have been a penalty or anything, but it makes me nervous. Remember a couple of games ago or last week, he called for the fair catch, the ball bounced, and then he still tried to receive it. It's not a penalty, but it's just kind of like, okay, what are you doing? Once you fair catch, it's over. He almost called a fair catch before he caught the ball this time, pulled himself back.
Yeah, the stuff he did.
The operation just looked uncomfortable.
Steven Sims might be a great guy. I don't know Steven Sims at all. He might be a great dude. I'm telling you right now, the stuff he did yesterday is what gets you cut from the team when you're on the team solely to return kicks.
Especially when you've got you've got one or two extra receivers on your roster than most teams carry.
Woods can go back there and fair catch.
Yeah, John Metchie exists.
Yes.
There are options.
Yeah, and they're not
Dez King's on the practice squad.
Right.
Put Dez out there.
Right, no, there's plenty of options out there. Doug Peterson. There were a lot of people that Doug Peterson quote right there that I saw. Not a lot of people, but I saw people who had tweeted the video out thinking, this is going to be a problem in the locker room. I'll tell you what, you're 0-4. I don't have a big problem with the coach doing a drive-by on the players saying that they got to make plays when you're getting asked about shuffling your coaching staff.
You guys are 0-4. Is everything fine except for this one thing?
Right.
Of course, he did pretty adamantly say that everything was just fine. I think the coach speak rule book there at that point says, look, everybody shoulders the blame in this. We gotta go back. We gotta evaluate. We gotta watch the film and see where the execution needs to be. So I think Doug Peterson getting angry there is somebody texted me yesterday. How the hell did this guy take a Super Bowl away from the Patriots? This guy's running. This
it's
guy's
a valid
throwing the
question.
Ball. Blame Trevor Lawrence all you want, but you're throwing the ball when you've got a lead in the fourth quarter for God knows what reason. When you've been able to run all now. To the Texans' credit, they'd been shutting down the run after that Bigsby huge run.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've run for 158 yards in a game and the defense has a couple nice plays against the run, I don't abandon the run. I don't think that all of a sudden somehow these guys are they've figured us out.
They ran 60 it looks like 16 plays after the The Tank Bigsby 58-yard run. Credit to Kalen Bullock. You're going to get acknowledged a little later for your hustle. Good job. They ran 16 plays, and they got a total of 21 yards, you know, the rest of the game. So I don't know if adjustments were made. I don't know if they, you know, they just figured some things out.
I'll tell you what, on that big run, they line up in this front sometimes. A lot of teams do it now where both defensive tackles are to on the same side of the ball. And then over on the left, you got a linebacker lined up in a two-point stance as your three technique. And then you got a defensive end over there. And usually, either one of the defensive ends slants or defensive tackle slants back across the line, or it's a blitz or something. I don't know what the hell happened on that play, whether it was a mental error or if it was a call. But there, you had a linebacker as your three technique, is how it ended up playing. It was just opening the gate. Because my first instinct was, well, okay, yeah, it's a great hustle play by Kalen Bullock, but was he out of position to begin with? But I don't know. I mean, it was just, It kind of reminded me of some of those Jalen Petrie tackles he had to make in his rookie year, where he missed a lot of tackles, but I gave him some excuses because there was nobody else around him.
Yeah.
I mean, they just opened the floodgates there for that 150 or for that huge run,
dude.
So I think maybe just getting a little bit more vanilla after that and playing football, like that goal line stand was just the defensive tackles playing good, solid football.
I wonder too, like Kalen Bullock's in the game. If Jimmy Ward is healthy, Tank Bigsby probably scores.
Oh, yeah, because Jimmy's not a speedster. Bullock almost, there have been at least two occasions this year where he's so fast and he comes over so quick that he's collided with another guy that's trying to make an interception.
Happens a lot,
because he's over there and help. A lot of times he's bailing out a cornerback that isn't in the best position, and yet, man, he's so rangy.
Yeah, he is. He's fun, man. He's fun. All right, so Texans win. We'll get back to that in headlines. Top of the hour, we'll hear from what it sounded like inside the locker room. We'll dig into the final drive of the game, which was, you know, in a second half where they were in second and long and third and long the entire half. It's amazing when the longest down and distance you're in is second and four on a drive. So we'll go through that final drive at 7 o'clock as well. We'll acknowledge people at 7:20. It's a Reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610. Astros, let's react to that a little bit. I would say around baseball, if people are hoping for matchups in the wild card round, you know, three versus six, four versus five in the two leagues, we're going to have four. I know Astro fans are a little unfamiliar with this because we haven't had to go through this in a 162-game season before.
Right, we had the one-game series, but not the three.
We had the one game, and in the COVID year, it was 16 teams made it, so everybody had to play a two-out-of-three round. But this is called the wild card round, people. This is best two out of three. All the games will be at Minute Maid Park, so that's good news. I would say around baseball, if the baseball gods, the higher-ups, were hoping for storylines, this is a pretty good one. A.J. Hinch coming back to Houston to take on his old team in a best two out of three playoff series with a team that is every bit as hot as the Houston Astros are.
Yeah,
it's
funny. You know, we've seen so many stats over the last couple months about the Astros since June 1st. They've been this or they've been that. Same articles have been written about the Tigers, who are the best team in baseball since July 1st. So you change one from a 6-1 to a 7-1.
You got to figure out what dates to pick.
Yeah, I know. We need to arbitrarily go, oh, yeah, well, how about since July 14th?
Bastille Day.
Yeah. You guys are forgetting Juneteenth, aren't you? Typical. Yeah. So, the Astros are the best team since June 1st. The Tigers are the best team since July 1st. Yeah. They have the best pitching staff since July 1st. You could say the two hottest teams in baseball. And the pitching numbers, I think, since July 1st are better for the Tigers than the Astros since, I don't know how it all shakes out.
They're both really good.
I would say the Astros pitching is deeper throughout starting pitching. But they have Skubal, who I feel like we might underestimate because he wasn't his normal self versus the Astros, but probably going to win the Cy Young.
Probably going to win the Cy Young.
Very, very good pitcher, and it's going to be him versus Framber.
That's the other thing. Like whatever we're saying about Skubal here, and I know Skubal is going to win the Cy Young probably. They've got to be saying the same thing about Framber up in Detroit today. You know, like that's the thing. Like I got to avoid Skubal, and it's true. He's a guy who can. In the postseason for years, it's, man, if you got one hammer at the top of the rotation, you can start him in games one, game five, and he can be on alert in game seven when it's all hands on to come in and go get you a save, that kind of thing. In a wild card round where it's best two out of three, Skubal can get half the job done for you.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what? I wonder, I'll be interested. I didn't really pay attention when the Astros were playing the Tigers. I don't pay attention to the boos of Altuve or anything anymore. I'm guessing our listeners certainly probably noticed this. Did in Detroit, was there less booing of Altuve and other being better than everybody else?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Award winners?
Texan. I don't recall.
So, I mean, because it's A.J. Hinch. So it's A.J. Hinch versus all the headlines I'm reading are for Tigers manager A.J. Hinch.
Yeah.
His team's clinch brings a sip of redemption.
No, this is a huge story. Yeah. This is a storyline. This is how I judge storylines.
Yeah.
This is a storyline where if I didn't have an interest in either of the teams, I would probably still watch this series based on the A.J. Hinch versus. I mean, that was a monster story back in 2020. A.J. Hinch was a world champion who had been to the World Series twice in 3 years. came within a game of winning two World Series in 3 years, was the manager of the ascension of what's been the, you know, the closest thing to a dynasty that we've had in baseball this century. And he got fired.
Yeah.
He got fired for one of the most noteworthy scandals of all time. So this is it's a huge storyline. Here's AJ Hinch yesterday at the end of the game, at the end of the Tigers game, where, you know, he's finding out, hey, this is who we're going to play.
I saw the Houston packet on my desk from the advance. So we'll start the study now. I mean, baseball, I tell you, it's going to take you places. And sometimes it's going to take you places where you've been. So, I look forward to the challenge. We'll be there soon.
That's AJ Hinch.
Sounds like he's out for blood, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like he's ready to stick it in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You could be. If we wanted to be irresponsible and dredge up all various things. Look, AJ Hinch, at least, he's kind of characterized it, or it's been characterized as, look, in a baseball clubhouse, the veterans, it's not like football necessarily, the veterans hold a lot of sway.
Yeah.
And it sounded like there's a little bit of like, hey, Carlos, this is Carlos Beltran's show when it comes to how we're going to figure out how to steal signs and everything. And AJ Hinch didn't like it, and he threw a couple of hissy fits over it.
Smashed a monitor.
He still owes, yeah, he owes the Astros money for a monitor.
Has he not paid them back yet?
Right, yeah. But he didn't put a stop to it. So,
right.
There's a lot of dynamics here, and a lot of, I'm like, I don't think he holds any of the players personally accountable or anything. We saw him having, we know he at least eats with Carlos Correa every now and
then. That's true. Yeah. They were over at, it's a place right over off of San Felipe.
You and I said we were going to go there the next day.
Yeah. And scouted out.
We've never been there since.
We never did that.
So, I don't know. Emotionally, how do you feel about AJ Hinch coming in? Do you want to embarrass him?
I like AJ Hinch. This is unlike what we're doing with the Texans, where it feels like they need style points here, so we feel better about the next game.
Yeah.
I don't care how they win. It's a wild card round, man. It's 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
I survive in advance.
I like, this is like Screwball's going to be a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah.
The Astros tagged him for 4 runs on June 14th, one of the arbitrary dates.
Yes.
That's Bastille Day?
Back when they weren't playing all that well. July 14th.
Oh, that's Bastille Day? Okay.
Yeah,
look, Screwball's going to be motivated, but it'd be a fun, nice story if the Astros just owned this pitcher who's been phenomenal this year.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool for sure. All the games are 1:32 p.m. starts. As Seth pointed out on Twitter yesterday, if it's 1:30, you're disrespected. But 1:32... is basically prime time.
Yeah, we made it, baby. You get another ALCS appearance, you might get moved to that precious 2 p.m. Central slot.
God.
Yeah, baby.
Listen to you. All right, let's get to headlines. Texans win yesterday. We mentioned the Astros. The NFL yesterday. Some interesting injury news and news on the team coming into town to play the Texans next week. We'll get into all that in headlines coming up next.
And Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. Texans beat the Jags 24-20 yesterday. A final waning moments drive by CJ Stroud. 9 plays, 69 yards. We'll dig into that drive in a little more detail at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. CJ was fantastic for really most of the game. The offense went into a lull in the second half. Penalties had a lot to do with that again.
They scored on 3 of the first of the 4 drives in the first half.
The first half, they looked great.
It wasn't lights out fireworks or anything, but they were moving the ball. They were doing, and then they just died in the second half until the final drive.
Yeah, in the third quarter until the final drive. Yeah, it was rough sledding offensively. But I thought CJ overall had a really good game. No Tank Dell, no Joe Mixon. Hopefully Joe Mixon back this week. We'll talk about the running game, all that. There's plenty to dissect from this. I think, to me, the biggest story other than the final drive was the way the defense tightened up the screws in the fourth quarter of this game and kept giving the offense chances to go get. It was 20-17. It felt like forever in the second half of this game. Here was C.J. Stroud on the role the defense played in the game.
Man, they played their tails off. You know, it's not always perfect. It's not always, you know, how we draw it up, but that's the NFL. You know, those guys, the Jaguars, are a heck of a team. I don't think that their record, you know, shows who they are. You know, they've had some, you know, some injuries and things like that. But, you know, they play really hard, and I feel like, you know, when it's a division opponent as well, it makes it a little harder just because, you know, that means a lot for the playoff run and everything like that. But, you know, we got the stack of win. me and Aziz were talking about, you got to play complimentary football. You know, when the offense is down, the defense got to pick us up. When the defense down, offense got to pick it up. And, you know, and special teams got to blanket everything. So we got to play three phases of football, you know, at a high level, and we got to clean a lot of things up. But you know, defense played really, really well today, I thought.
That goal line stand after the big Bigsby run, the really impressive thing about that to me was that the defensive tackles, and not just the starters, multiple different defensive tackles made really good plays versus the run on those two big stuffs. I mean, Khalil Davis was in there, and he didn't make the tackle, but he penetrated. And somebody else got the tackle. Foley Fatakasi on the QB run. The biggest thing I would question if I were in Jacksonville was, like, you know, the Texans really only have two linebackers that they feel good about. Why are we down on the 1 yard line spreading it out? And instead of making the Texans get out here with the personnel that they don't have and just try to like out physical them. Because then the Texans were just playing. They weren't in goal line defense.
Yeah.
They Toa Toa made a great play on the second and two. Yeah. So for all of the issues that they had in that game defending the run, they came up huge, huge in a clutch moment.
That's probably the genesis of the question and answer with Peterson that we played in the previous segment, where Doug Peterson, the coach of the Jags, was asked about taking back play calling duties from Press Taylor, their OC. If I had to guess, third down where they passed at the 1 yard line and Derek Stingley Jr. broke up that pass in the back corner of the end zone. And then fourth and goal at the one, the very first play of the fourth quarter, where they're in empty. They're spread empty at the 1 yard line and they run a QB draw.
Right. And that's what we had talked in the pregame about, hey, maybe some of how the Jaguars try to get themselves going is more designed QB runs. And, turns out that was a bad strategy, at least on the very end of the game. I thought their zone reads and stuff like that with Trevor Lawrence, he's a legitimate running threat, so you have to respect them. They just can't tie it all together. They do feel like one of these teams that's struggling with a new age offensive coordinator who wants to be a passing guru. Because all these kids grew up wanting to be passing gurus. And now they're faced with this situation in the NFL where all of a sudden teams are defending the run a lot better than, or defending the deep ball a lot better than they have been before. But everybody wants to be a genius.
They do.
Press Taylor's trying too hard to be a genius
sometimes. I guess.
I think Bobby Slowick falls into that category right now. I mean, look, the best runs the Texans have had since Joe Mixon went down have been like the damn fun, but they're gadget plays in the first half.
You end up with
that was awesome. It was a well-designed play. There's a part of me that feels like, okay, maybe instead of however much time you spent working on that gadget play, the team would be better served overall by just doing old school inside run drills. You know, actually
trying to run a trap up the middle or something.
Run some inside zone in practice instead. Like, let's get better at that before we mess with the gadgetry.
All right, so Texans win. That's the good news. 3-1, 2-0 in the division. Congrats to them. We'll talk more about it at the top of the hour. We'll hear what D'Amico Ryan's victory speech sounded like to the guys. Does this sound different than the ones we've been hearing after previous wins? We'll get to that at the top of the hour. We mentioned it in the previous segment. We'll mention it again. The Astros will face the Tigers in the 3-6 seed wild card round in the American League. The other American League series will be the Baltimore Orioles hosting the Kansas City Royals. So we get to welcome home AJ Hinch, who had this to say about the Astros wild card round.
I saw the Houston packet on my desk from the advance. So we'll start the study now. I mean, baseball, I tell you, it's gonna take you places. And sometimes it's gonna take you places where you've been. So I look forward to the challenge. We'll be there soon.
We'll be there soon.
Yeah.
That's a headline. Today. Let's just be guilty of headline porn this week. Because we need to dredge up some hatred for AJ Hinch.
That is true.
Hard man to hate.
Should we do
you're a Yankees fan.
Should we do a 5 Reasons I Hate You for the Tigers
tomorrow?
Yes,
we should do one, and we should do one. Let's get petty. Let's get petty AF.
Super petty.
Let's do 5 Reasons We Hate. No, I can't do it. I was going to say 5 Reasons We Hate AJ Hinch, but I can't do that.
It's hard to find
even
5 reasons.
Even in fun, I can't do it.
I mean, we know the big one is he took out Zach Greinke in Game 7 of the World Series.
Right, okay.
That's the biggest
one. Do we do a muted version of 5 Reasons I Hate AJ Hinch?
I think what we do is 5 Reasons I Hate the Detroit Tigers with full vitriol, and at least one of the bullets is Hinch related.
Or 5 manufactured reasons to hate AJ Hinch.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, let's just make stuff up.
It always bothered me that he lived in the Woodlands when he was here. It feels like, you know why? Because it's rubbing it in the face of football coaches. It's like, yeah.
I got time to drive in.
You got to sleep on your couch, huh? Ooh, you're such a grinder.
I got time for a one-hour commute each way.
I'm going to listen to podcasts. I'm going to listen to NPR podcasts on the way in.
That's right. Hey, quickly here, and we'll get to this in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Buffalo is going to be coming to town angry. They got smoked by the Ravens last night.
Oh, no.
35-10.
Derrick Henry, thank you for my redemption.
Derrick Henry, a buck 99, including an 87-yard run right out of the chute for a touchdown.
Old man still got it, Sean.
He does still got it.
The old fella still got it.
He does.
This offense matched up well versus that defense. Yeah. The Bills had faced a lot of quarterbacks who were really good attacking the outside of the numbers, and
That's not the Ravens.
The Ravens can go right up the spine of the defense.
They will smack you in the face.
Now, the Texans have had some success over the middle with one. I don't know if you've heard of this young up-and-comer, Nico Collins. So,
now that you mention it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Nico, you know what? Football gods, thank you. I'll light an extra candle today to honor you. Thank you for giving me a dose of reality and a reminder that, man, any given Sunday, you wipe the slate clean. I don't care how ugly the Texans have played and been, that this is just like every other team in the NFL. They have their flaws. They have their blemishes. They have their weaknesses. And it was nice to see a little bit of that before you face the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
I would like to think that the Texans team themselves didn't need that reminder, but for me as a fan, it's got extra juice. I feel better and more confident about
Bills it. Bills a 2.5-point favorite at Energy Stadium.
I thought they were, you know what? I was going to call them a 5-point favorite. I did before that game. But then
Well, the 2.5 came out before the Bills blown out by the Ravens. So I'll take a look and see what
it is. The Texans haven't beat the spread yet.
They're 0-4 against the spread. Yeah. If you're a Texan fan who's been actually betting on the Texans to show support, my apologies for the bankruptcy that you're in right now.
They almost, if that near safety at the end of the game would have gotten the over and would have gotten the
would that was
have,
wild.
Have covered the spread.
We'll get
as
to
well.
That. We'll get to that and acknowledge me for sure. D'Amico Ryan's locker room speech. Does he sound like a different D'Amico at all in this one? We'll talk about that. And CJ Stroud putting on the cape yesterday. We will go through what was, I thought, a masterful final drive, not just by CJ Stroud, but by a few other people as well. We'll explain coming up next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, we got a busy 7 o'clock hour, a victorious 7 o'clock hour. We will have D'Amico Ryan's locker room speech in just a second. Take a listen to this. We'll do that. We'll go back and dig into some of the details of CJ putting on the cape at the end of the game and getting the Texans a game-winning touchdown. There were some unsung heroes, I think, on that drive that we will get to. And then we'll get to Acknowledge Me, where there will be some Texans in there. Got a little college football in there. Got a former Texans head coach in Acknowledge Me, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't looked at the show prep, so I'm going to be surprised by
all of
these.
You're going to have fun listening to this. You're right with the audience right now.
Jim Mudd once told me that he thought the show would be best when he was our producer if I just was completely unprepared for every show.
There's something to that.
Yeah.
What do you mean, if?
Ben. Oh, you Ben. Chime in now?
Ben talks once
you
every...
You chime in, though. What the hell is this all about?
Yeah, dude, Ben talks once every 2 months on the show, and he chose violence right now.
What the hell was that?
We need the jaws of life to get Ben on the show.
I hit by a stray. It's like I made it through the war, and then all of a sudden I got in an auto accident.
That's the canary in the coal mine right there.
My goodness.
All right, so we'll get to Acknowledge Me in about 15, 20 minutes as well. This is D'Amico Ryans in the locker room following yesterday's 24-20 win over the Jags.
Hey, great job, man. Hey, I talked about it last night. Whatever it take, whoever it take, however long it take, finish with the win. And that's what we did today. We wanted to finish the first month of the season 3-1, and we did that. All right? Great job across the board. Hey, we can be a really good team. Really good team if we all commit to doing the right things all the time, right? You see it, guy. We got to get out of our own way. Commit to doing the right things all the time, man. And see how good we can be when we get out of our own way. Y'all with me?
Sure.
All right, just a couple balls here, all right? Who we got? Dare, big time, man. Dare, hey, great job, man. Great job. We needed it most. We needed it most. Great job. And I think he got the most yards in the first 4 weeks of a season. Nico Collins! Yeah, Nico! Great job, man. Keep balling CJ again. Great job. Way to lead us. All right, offense, when we needed it most, guys. Way to go close it out. That's what we look like. That's how it should look every single time. Proud of y'all boys, man. Proud of you. Let's fix what we got to fix, and let's keep getting better, keep moving forward.
All right, so that was a great victory speech. D'Amico gets so fired up.
Yeah. No, and honestly, going back and watching the entire final drive, that's what you need to do right now. If you got mixed feelings about, they played like crap the whole second half, and yeah, they were good on that last drive. Watch the final drive and just remember that's how it should look and can look.
Yep.
Because they did it with multiple different players. CJ had to do it with his legs a couple times. And after I went back and rewatched, I felt better about it. I felt like, all right, okay, let's remember. The offensive line pulled it together. Bobby Sloak did a great job with the pass call. Nico was a huge part of that drive, but they also used Nico to open up other opportunities for others. So that part of it, going against the Jags defense that played more zone than they typically do, you know, like the thing that's been hard for the Texans to really operate against as efficiently, I don't want to make too much of one series, but that's how it really should look. It was just a masterful drive without any huge, huge highlight reel moments other than maybe the Dalton Schultz driving for the extra for the first down.
We'll get to all these. So,
I'm so excited, Sean.
I know. I can tell. It's good. I like it.
I feel the negativity draining from my veins.
I like it a lot. Well, hold on, but keep the IV there real quickly here. Did it sound like D'Amico maybe was in the midst of the victory speech, really, 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 really trying to reinforce that, guys, we've got to do better here?
I don't know. Do not ignore, as multiple people
pointed
out to me.
He's imploring them to a man to do things. We need to do the right things all the time.
Multiple people said to me yesterday after the game, there's going to be another Jeff Van Gundy quote week, isn't it? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Do not ignore in victory what you would otherwise address in defeat.
It is.
Yes. But I feel like I've played that record enough times.
And I feel like
D'Amico knows that too.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And I don't know if people are going to get frustrated with that or not. The post-game show last night, we had the phone lines were jammed from the time Clint and I sat down in our chairs to the time we walked out of the studio. The phone lines were jammed the whole time. And I would say that it was 60-40, 65-35 maybe. The majority being, it's a win. I'll take the win.
Yeah.
It's ugly. They've got to fix these things. The remainder were people who were still like kind of legitimately angry doing all these things, which I understand both sides.
I know that's how I was. I feel guilty sometimes after a victory. I do feel guilty about just not even really accepting the W. You know, sometimes it's harder to accept the W than the L when you just know that you know what somebody's capable of and you know the potential and they're just not following through on it. And CJ in his press conference, we can play the clip tomorrow, but he talked about the pastor that they had brought in for either Saturday or Wednesday Bible study, whatever it was. He talked about you got to get through the mud to get to the miracle. And he said, with us, it's been a lot of self-inflicted mud. They're slathering themselves with yellow mud. Like, they might as well walk. Larry, if you're going to wear colored gloves, wear yellow gloves.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and throw the flag on yourself, okay? The self-inflicted mud is what's so frustrating right now.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, like, honestly, it sounds weird to say, but the 35 to 40% that were angry, in a way, it's a compliment to the Texans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That the expectations are where they are right now.
Right, you know?
So people are going to fan how they fan.
You see this? Look, I went to a school that had a lot of, it was hard to get into, and there's a lot of kids from fancy prep schools and stuff. A lot of kids that were A students in college, and then they get to that school, and they're like, what do you mean I'm a B student?
Yeah.
I'm a genius, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard emotionally.
Yeah.
And that's what you guys are now. You're like a kid that got 1400 on your SATs.
Right.
And yet you're getting the first B in your life. And it's an emotionally devastating.
That's right.
That's what it feels like with the Texans right now. They're capable. It feels like they're capable of so much more. And yet they keep getting Bs and Cs.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
All right. CJ putting on the cape yesterday, man.
I was just fine with my Cs.
What was your confidence level after a half where they had punted on literally every possession?
Yeah.
Getting the ball back with 2 minutes and 50. And by the way, a half where they punted and a lot of it, again, was self-inflicted, silly stuff.
The biggest problem I have in watching a Texans game right now is the feeler of imminent doom that there's going to be a flag on the play.
After a first down, I'm looking for flags all the time.
The first drive of the drive that we're talking about here at the end of the game, there was a flag on the ground.
Yeah.
And immediately you're like, oh!
Thank God it was on Jacksonville.
Yes.
But what was your, before we kind of go through this winning drive in some detail, what was your, do you recall what your confidence level was that CJ was going to be able to march down the field after not doing anything the whole second half?
My confidence in CJ never wavers.
Yeah.
My confidence had been bolstered by the performance of the defense.
Yeah.
So previously, I felt emotionally like, all right, okay, all right, this is where. So I would say a confidence level of 6, but an anticipation level of 8.
Okay.
Because I was like, all right, this is where I'm going to, right now, even though I feel like I couldn't possibly be happy, even if the Texans win this game. Look, you remember all the various very good teams in the NFL that haven't looked like they're firing at all. So the Patriots teams back in the day, it seemed like every other year for a while there, this is it
they're
for
done.
Tom Brady.
Yep.
He's done. Boy,
done.
He's shot.
They're
and
done.
Then they get it together. So that's where my anticipation level is pretty high, just knowing that, all right, man, it's still early in the season. Let's get this right.
Yeah, and I think CJ's made out of that same kind of stuff. I'm not saying he's Brady, but I'm saying he's of that ilk.
I don't even like saying his name when attaching to it, because really it would be the offensive line. It would be some of the pre-snap formation penalties by skill position players. It was all that stuff that's more frustrating.
So 9-play drive, 69 yards, and I thought this was masterfully done. And we'll get to the part I thought was most masterful here in a minute. First play of the drive is a C.J. Stroud 11-yard scramble from their 31. They get the 5 extra yards for illegal contact, which you talked about. That was the flag on the ground. So now all of a sudden, one play, and they're nearly at midfield. The next play, second play of the drive, first and 10, Houston 47. This is where I'm like, okay, I'm feeling something now.
Stroud takes the snap, fakes the give, throws downfield. Got a man, Nico, left side, 30, and brought down at the 27-yard line, tripped up by Miller. Big play to Nico. They're in range already with 2:35 to go.
Bingo, Vandy. They're in range already. That took them down to the Jacksonville. They got to the Jacksonville 27-yard line in about 15 seconds from their own 31-yard line. So That's my confidence level was sky high at that point.
You know, too, and then the name that kept creeping into my mind with Nico yesterday, but then especially on that drive, is Justin Jefferson. But that he's that guy that opposing fans are just saying, why? Why is he? What are you doing? How are you not bracketing him?
12 catches,
why is he
man.
Open? And you're going against a defense that's trying to play, you know, they're putting somebody on him, but they're playing in a loose shell and everything, so that's fine. Nico can eat underneath and turn what might be like a nice little possession reception by other receivers into something where it look, you know what it looks like also is Brandon Ayuk when they're on all, firing on all cylinders with the 49ers.
Yeah.
Can catch a ball 2 yards shy of the first down marker and then turn it into much more.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that was two plays in. You're already at their 27-yard line. Last play before the two-minute warning is a check down to Jari Ogunbowale for 6 yards on first down. Two-minute warning hits. So now you come out of the two-minute warning. It's second and four. You're at the Jacksonville 21. CJ hits Nico for 6 yards. They get the first down. Now the clock's ticking, and it's ticking, and it's ticking, and it's ticking, and it gets down to a minute 13, and they run a play on first down from the Jacksonville 16. It's a Dari Ogunbowale run up the middle for 6 yards.
Yeah.
I think that's important to note here. They were never in a down and distance worse than second and four this entire drive. I think that's worth noting because bad down and distances have been a theme with this team. So that forces the Jags to use their first timeout. The Jags had two timeouts left. This is the masterful part, I thought, here. I was sitting next to Patrick Creighton, and I can't remember, he was kind of scratching his head a little bit that CJ had been eating, and now they're running Dare. And I said, I think they're trying to get the Jags to empty their bag. They know, the Texans know they're going to at least go to overtime here.
Right, right, yeah, you're going to kick a field goal.
Yeah, at the worst case, you're going to overtime. So let's make sure the Jags empty their satchel of timeouts so that if you do hold the ball, they don't have a chance in the end to go down and get points. And I said to Patrick, I said, watch, they're going to run it again right here on second and four. Sure enough, they did. Dare up the middle for 1 yard. Jags have to burn that final timeout. So now the Jags are out over a plank clock management-wise. Third and three at the Jacksonville 8, and this is I love this. Dalton Schultz, this was a huge underrated play by Dalton Schultz on third and three.
Third down and three at the Jacksonville 8. Three receivers right, empty backfield. Here's the snap to CJ. Looking, firing, and caught by Schultz at the 5. It's enough for the first down. He dives down inside the 2-yard line. 53 seconds to go. The Jags can't stop the clock, and the Texans have a first and goal.
That second effort because he got hit right at the marker,
and
man.
His knee was down when he caught the ball.
Yeah,
you know, so
he
up,
kneeled down.
He
nobody
had to
touched
get up
him.
Off the knee before somebody hit him.
That extra effort to get those extra yards, A, guaranteed you the first down, B, got you a first and goal with the clock moving, and C, got it down to the 2-yard line where I feel like this team, you know, if you're going to try to punch it into the end zone, better to be down at the 2 than at the 5, I would
say. Yeah, and that play, too, there were two plays that – the play before that was the Ogunbowale screen, or a couple before that.
Yeah, that was right before the two-minute warning.
The gravity of Stephon Diggs, and I think it was Stephon Diggs both times, it pulled the cornerback away from either a running back or a tight end.
Yeah,
it's like
huge.
That, you know, they just got them a little bit undisciplined in their zones.
Yeah,
and there you go.
Yep.
So that was, I mean, and CJ. To go back to the Ogunbowale, it wasn't a screen, it was a check down.
Yeah, check down.
Because he was wide open out in the flat because the cornerback got pulled in by Stephon Diggs.
That's right.
And like that's exactly what you're hoping for when you got all this wide receiving talent out there. Does it open up opportunities for others? That's where I got excited about it because, man, all right, this is what it's supposed to look like. If the big three aren't eating, then yeah, you get meaningful yardage out of these other guys.
That was a huge play by Dalton Schultz. So the Texans take the clock down voluntarily down to 30 seconds. So there's 30 seconds left. Texans call a timeout. First and goal at the 2. CJ drops back. He's looking. Scrambles for a yard. Gets down to the 1 yard line. Texans call timeout with 22 seconds left. They don't have any timeouts anymore. So it's second and goal at the Jacksonville 1. Here it was.
Offset eye. CJ rolls out to the right, throws to the end zone. Hits Dory! And the Texans score! They lead! CJ Stroud to Dare Ogunbowale, who's had a huge game, puts the Texans on top.
This is what I really liked about that play. And CJ talked about it in the postgame, how tempo doesn't always have to mean, you know, hurry up offense. Sometimes it's just getting up to the line quickly and doing all of that really well. And then he was talking about, then because get up to the line quickly, then you can take your time and figure out some things. This was the exact opposite. They got up to the line really quickly, snapped the ball immediately.
Yes, they did.
They're lined up in I after they'd been spread out. You know, you want to let CJ cook and spread everybody out? They did that on this drive. This one, they line up in I formation, come up to the line, snap the ball, and dupe them with the play action. And a gumbo, or dupe them with just the people being focused on stopping the run, because it wasn't even a play action play. So it was perfect.
The fascinating part about them being lined up in I formation there,
yeah,
is that if they were to have run the ball and didn't get into the end zone, they have no timeouts.
Right. So Jacksonville
and it's second down.
Jacksonville should know that it's got to be passed.
They should know.
Yeah, they should
know. There's no way they're running it there.
Yeah, but they were loaded up, ready to stop the run.
They were
linebackers got sucked in.
Yeah, they loaded up, and you could tell that play was going to work from about a half a second after the ball was snapped.
Yeah, you could as soon as you see CJ rolling out.
He's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it. Yeah, Seth and I are watching it right now on Seth's computer. Sorry, audience. We're watching
because it wasn't like he was wide open or anything.
No, but you know CJ can make that throw.
And when I say it wasn't play action, I mean it wasn't. It was just by formation.
Yeah.
CJ does like a little ball fake to nobody, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just enough to get in what they needed.
Yeah.
And then next, I've said this about Pat Mahomes forever. Sometimes it's the quote unquote easy throws where the ball is perfectly placed and thrown with touch on a 5-yard pass, where sometimes quarterbacks are at their most impressive, because those are the things that guys like Trevor Lawrence screw up all the time.
Yeah.
But CJ's got the presence of mind to just kind of float it to Ogunbowale, but not too slow, because that's where your non-superstars tend to screw up too, is if it's really, really easy.
Yeah.
Just in rhythm and boom, there you go.
Yep. It was great. It was I can't say enough. It was a masterful drive. I thought the clock management was awesome. Not a single bad down and distance situation the whole time.
Yeah.
I thought CJ did a great job of just taking what the defense, scrambling for 11 yards, checking down to Dare, hitting Schultz on third and three. And then the other message that clearly comes out of this drive is that when Joe Mixon's not available, they're giving the ball to Cam Akers 13 times, and they're letting J.J. Taylor get a few touches here and there. The guy they trust when Joe Mixon's not available is Dare Ogunbowale. That's the guy they trust when it comes down to nut-cutting time.
Right. And, one thing that Bobby Slowick has talked about, D'Amico Ryans has talked about, Nick Caserio, is that part of the first half of the season is kind of learning who you are, and that's what's really frustrating as a fan. But to go back to the Patriots, that's what the Patriots were really good at. There are a lot of times where the Patriots just didn't look like a championship-caliber team in the first half of the season. Then they figure it out over the course of the first 8 games. The year they went to the Super Bowl against the Rams, they became, in the second half of the season, a run-heavy team.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was working for them that year. They became a team that ran the ball. But they didn't really figure it out until halfway through. Joe Mixon's presence, hopefully, next week, and the fact that the Bills showed that they are indeed mortal, that's changed my feelings over the course of the last 12 hours. More so
about this game,
or at least however long it's been since the game was over.
I feel
differently. It's a huge challenge. The Texans cannot ignore all these penalties and how there are some teams that are good but are heavily penalized. The way it feels with the Texans this year is that they just have a knack for having drive killing penalties. That's part of these are not penalties tacked on after you've already gotten the first down,
right?
Things like that. These are really backbreaking penalties. That's the biggest thing holding them back.
They've played largely the same game in some ways the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is the Bears and the Jags, you're good enough to still beat those two teams.
Yeah.
You weren't good enough to beat the Vikings. And I'll tell you this, you're not good enough to beat the Bills if this is how you play.
If teams are going to sit back and play cover two shells, that Nico Collins pass on the very first, you ask what are the cover two beaters? Nico Collins.
Yeah.
He's got a guy trying to cover him up the seam. CJ throws it right between, they're in the honey hole there in the middle of cover two, and there's nothing they can do about it because it's Nico Collins.
It's great. Let's get
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, bedroom? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get to Nico and others and acknowledge me. We acknowledge big performance, big weekends, big stories from over the weekend. We do it every Monday at about this time. Acknowledge me. I will say a name. And Ben will play this.
Acknowledge me.
Roman Reigns, your tribal chief, saying acknowledge me. And then we will go through the process of acknowledging. There's a couple of Texans I want to make sure we get to. And the first one is indeed Nico Collins.
Acknowledge me.
Nico got in the end zone yesterday.
I'm third and goal. Here's the snap. Stroud looking. Stroud throwing back of the end zone. Touchdown, Nico Collins. As Houston goes in front of Jacksonville.
Nico was asked after the game, like, hey, man, these numbers you're piling up.
Yeah.
Because no receiver in the history of the Texans has been more prolific through the first four games of a season than Nico Collins. Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, none of them have put up the numbers Nico has in the first four games of any given season. Are these new numbers the standard for you, Nico?
Yeah, it is. I feel like my standard, man, just continue to be me. Continue to submerge in the deep end, you know. Block out distractions, continue to be myself, continue to find the things I need to work on, which is everything. I feel there's always room for improvement on your game. So my mindset, man, don't get comfortable and continue to build, continue to take care of my body, continue to be available for the team, you know, and just let the rest be the rest, you know, let all the pieces fall in place.
It's getting easier and easier to make some comparisons between Nico Collins and Andre Johnson. Obviously, there are differences.
Sure.
And it's almost unfair to either guy to make that comparison, but the size, Nico's a tall guy, he's not as thick as Andre was. But I think the thing that I like most, if I'm going to draw comparisons, is that Nico's much, much more of an extroverted personality, but there's a stoic nature to the way he goes about his business. I mean, he just like Andre, is just all about showing up and doing your job.
Yeah.
You know, without drama, there was no contract drama. Maybe they redo his. If he keeps playing this like this way, I'm guessing they redo his deal before it's up. But I don't expect. I'd be surprised if Nico were publicly agitating.
I'd be shocked.
Or playing it out on social media or something
shocked,
like that.
Yes.
I think it might be a team initiated thing at some point if he keeps this up. But I don't. I anticipate zero drama with Nico Collins. He's just not that kind of guy. We talk about veteran leadership on the team. Oh, this is the point that I wanted to give credit to Jason Bristol for last night, but I got sidetracked. It's a young team in a lot of respects, but they do have a lot of veteran leaders. That's what's frustrating.
Yeah.
They got a lot of old guys on this team.
They do.
So you got to really put pressure. Nico's one of the younger players who I think leads by example better than anybody.
He
just shows up and does his job.
Dude, and you ask anybody about Nico that's not Nico on the team, and that's the first thing they bring up is his work ethic. Dari did when we asked him about it on the postgame show
yesterday. The only thing that could rattle my confidence right now is if Nico Collins showed up and started referring to himself in the third person.
Yeah, tweeting out rap lyrics.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, yeah, but not not just rap lyrics, but cryptic
rap. Cryptic rap cryptic lyrics, rap. Yeah.
Rap lyrics are fine, Sean.
Yeah. Cryptic rap lyrics.
What did I say when they showed 50 Cent on there? I said, like, because, you know, we talk about whether we should say 50 Cent or 50 Cent.
Yeah, yeah.
We feel like we're way too middle-aged to say 50 Cent.
I say 50.
You're middle-aged enough that you should be saying 4 bits. You're, yeah.
Sixpence.
There's one of those musical artists there that talks instead of singing. Yeah. I think his name is 4 bits.
I think his name is Sawbuck. Yeah. All right. Kalen Bullock.
Acknowledge
Hustle
me.
Play of the Year. Here's Tank Bigsby's 58-yard run that, thanks to Kalen Bullock, was not a 62-yard touchdown run.
Trevor with signals. Hand off Bigsby straight ahead. First down and more. 50, 45. He's on the move. Right side. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5 to the pylon. And they're going to say he stepped out of bounds inside the 5-yard line. And what no a flags. Call. Bigsby shot out of a cannon. Gets the Jags a first and goal.
All right, so he got knocked out by Kalen Bullock at the 4-yard line, and chasing.
My initial thought on that was, all right, okay, that was an awesome play and incredible athleticism by Kalen Bullock, but was he out of position? Is that why he had to? Because he is the safety.
Yeah.
You go back and you watch that, and the Texans are aligned in this alignment that a lot of teams do and the Texans have done, but usually you've got both defensive tackles lined up on the same side of the ball. It's fundamentally unsound if you were to play that way. Usually you either blitz or the defensive tackle slants back to the other side of the ball at the snap. The Texans did neither of those things.
Yeah.
So they end up with a linebacker as your three technique, basically. Yep. And it was just a wide open game. I don't know if it was a mental error. I hope to God on 3rd and 3 that wasn't the design of the play, because you're just inviting them to run on you, not just for the first down, but for more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Kalen Bullock he saved the game right there.
He saved the game.
It was enough that, man, the juice from that play seems to have carried over to their goal line stand.
After I agree with you. After that play, I'll repeat that according to my calculations, the Jags ran 16 plays after that Bigsby run. They gained a total of 21 yards the rest of the game. So here was D'Amico Ryans on Kalen Bullock's hustle play to save a touchdown.
Yeah, one thing our defense stands on is effort, and there's no better play that exhibits that effort than Kalen, right, giving us a blade of grass to stand on. So Kalen's effort to run him down and get a stop, and for us to regroup after such a huge play, for us to regroup and then be able to get a stop there in the red zone, that's a big turning point in the game.
Yeah.
So, and that shows what effort means, and if you play the game the right way with that type of effort, it can put you in position to be on the winning side. So proud of Kalen for his effort.
I would be, if I were in Jacksonville and if I knew the Texans very well, I would say, why are you guys spreading it out on the goal line when the Texans only have 2 linebackers that they trust right now?
Yeah,
because they spread it out, and the Texans were able to just play their... They were not in goal line defense, because that's not what the personnel demanded.
No.
And the defensive tackles, to their credit, and it was multiple defensive tackles. It wasn't just the starters. In the fourth quarter, Khalil Davis had a nice play. Tim Settle had a really nice play. Foley Fatakasu had a really nice play. Henry Toa came up on 2nd and 2 and made shucked. Henry Toa shed an offensive lineman like he was an actual 3-technique defensive tackle.
Toa's been good this year so far.
So that was just good, fundamentally sound play by the front 7 on the goal line, not even in their goal line defense. That was great. That was really, it was a lot of the stuff that had been missing earlier in the game and this year, where that final couple drives by the Texans made me feel a lot better about a lot of things.
Yep.
And so Kalen Bullock's just made it the rest. He is Swarm.
He is Swarm.
He's likely going to be in the Circle of Swarm.
We may hear his name on Friday for the Circle of Swarm. Foreshadowing.
The Instagram OTs will not be in the Circle of Swarm.
They will not.
Gloved offensive lineman can be in the Circle of Swarm, because you're putting your IG photos ahead of the team when you wear bright colored gloves as an offensive lineman.
All right, let's keep it moving. Joe Flacco.
Acknowledge me.
Wreaking havoc with another fan base's psyche, hopefully. Joe Flacco came in for, stop me if you've heard this before, an injured Anthony Richardson. By the way, Anthony Richardson goes out of the Colts game. Colts beat the Steelers, by the way, 27-24. So the Steelers fall from the ranks of the undefeated. Anthony Richardson goes out with a hip injury. They bring him back in and immediately run a QB run to the line. Like, they immediately just throw his body back in complete peril.
Yeah.
Very first play. He gets knocked out again for the rest of the game. Now, here's why Flacco's getting acknowledged. 16 of 26, 168, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. This looks like a lot like the Joe Flacco that had Cleveland's fan base wanting to build around Joe Flacco.
Yes, and at one point during the game, we were sitting in the post-game studio, and we couldn't tell. I'm sure this has probably already been is all over social media. There was some incidents with Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston yelled at an offensive lineman.
Yelling at an O-lineman, and that's kind of died down. I haven't seen much about it
since
then.
Yeah, it was weird. And then Deshaun went up to kind of like
calm the guy down.
Calm the offensive lineman down. Yeah. So there's a lot of drama potentially in Cleveland with where Joe Flacco used to be. But as far as the Colts, the one downside of this, I guess, we won't play the sounder, but I'll acknowledge Anthony Richardson for breaking the 50% completion mark.
He's 3 out of 4.
He was 3 for 4. Yeah. I feel like they're gaming the system a little bit in that they came in and immediately ran the ball. They didn't put him in any peril of
cracking the below 50% barrier.
Yeah, they might have called nothing but runs just to keep him at 75%.
Because they know that you're tracking this.
Yeah. There's
nobody's tracking this closer than you.
They want to be able to point to some level of success. I was devastated to find out that he had finished with 75% completions.
Now you've got to walk around doing that annoying thing where you're like, you know, Anthony Richardson hasn't thrown for greater than 50%. With a minimum of 5 attempts.
It's okay, because what soothes me is I know I'm going to see a bunch of Colts fans claiming that Anthony Richardson isn't injury prone this week.
No,
you got to look into
that's the salve
injuries.
On the wound.
He's not actually injury prone. All right.
All right, I said I'd acknowledge a former Texans head coach. Podcast Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Bill O'Brien was on Julian Edelman's podcast, and I've seen probably 5, I haven't watched the whole thing. I've probably seen 5 clips from this thing. They're all either very entertaining or very informative. He's a really good podcast guest, which shouldn't surprise me because he used to come on the afternoon show with us every now and then. John McClain, back when McClain and O'Brien were seeing eye to eye, he would be able to call up Bill and say, hey, you want to come on the afternoon show? And he would, and he was always a great guest. Like, he's an excellent storyteller.
No, he really is. Bill O'Brien is a very complex human being.
Yeah.
There's many, many facets to Bill O'Brien.
Doing a good job at BC right now.
Yeah.
BC is, he's done much better than people thought he would be.
Is he good enough to go be the antidote for what ails Cleveland? That's
the one guy that got something out of Deshaun.
Yeah, you're married to Deshaun for a little while. Yeah. And Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly.
I don't know, honestly, you know, this sounds weird. I don't know that he seems really happy at Boston College.
I think Bill O'Brien also, because of, he's got the situation with his son is, I think, can be very taxing in a lot of ways, understandably. Yeah. And they're both
got a special
their needs families
son.
There
yeah.
and everything.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe he's coming to his own. Maybe he ends up being like a beloved figure at BC.
Here was O'Brien on, he is so far, I can tell you that. O'Brien, this is a story he told about Rob Gronkowski on the Edelman podcast.
I told this story about Gronk the other day. Gronk was a rookie, and Bill would come in on Wednesdays sometimes, and he would test the team.
Quiz us.
And as assistant coaches, you had a 7:30 meeting, so you would alert these guys like, hey, man, you better know your stuff because he's going to test you. And these guys would all be like, oh, my God. They'd be looking at the punter's range and averages and stuff. And let's say we're playing the Jets or whatever. And so he goes, all right, Gronkowski, who's the Mike linebacker? And Gronk had his scout book, like, between his feet. And so he looked at Bill, and he looked down, and he was moving the pages of his phone. And Bill goes, Jesus Christ, Gronk. And the whole team started laughing.
It's a good the clips I've seen from that podcast are excellent. That's it's a really fun interview.
Yeah, I love that image of Gronk, like, such a meathead that he can't even, like, you know, in college I didn't have to cheat. I didn't even have to work at cheating.
Oh,
they just said, they would just send somebody in to take my tests for me.
So funny.
That brought me back, though, because you'll hear so many great players from the Patriots talk about how nervous you'd be in meetings.
Yeah.
And it is, man, no matter how tough you are or who you think you are, unless you're kind of just, like, wired really differently like Gronk, you get in a hierarchical environment where there's a authority figure at the top, you still get that same feeling you did when you were in middle school.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not prepared for a test or you got a teacher or something. You think you're a big bag tough guy, but when the teacher calls you out, there's something that there's butterflies that turn in your stomach.
Dude.
Unless you're Gronkowski or I get Mike Vrabel is another guy that was the opposite, was super sharp, but would like seemed unfazed by Bill O'Brien, would go would go back and forth with
oh,
him.
Oh, by Belichick, you mean?
With Belichick. Yeah, we kind of take shots at Belichick.
That's great. That's
but Edelman talks about how nervous he used to get with Belichick.
I can see that, man. All right, last one. This is a little self-grand. You know, I'm kind of propping myself up here.
Do it, Sean.
Sean Stradamus.
Acknowledge me!
Yeah, that's me. This was me back on July the 6th, out in the outfield patio at Target Field after the day after the Twins beaned Altuve up near his head, and all the Twin fans sitting near me all cheered for it.
Right, right.
I put out a video chastising them, which went viral. The very next day, I went to the game. They lose 9-3, the Astros do. Hunter Brown got shelled. But I could tell, even in the midst of a 9-3 win, this is not a good baseball team, these Minnesota Twins. Even though they were on pace for 92 wins at the time, after the 9-3 loss by the Astros, I said this on my eighth beer.
I've watched championship baseball. I'm really happy for you guys that you won 9-3 today. That is not a championship-level team. Y'all are the ratchet brewers, okay? That's what you are. You're an 84-win team that's going to get knocked out in the wild card round. Now and forever, that's all you are. Not worried about you in the ALCS, okay?
Not worried about you in the ALCS. The final standings are in, and the Minnesota Twins, turns out I gave them way too much credit.
Yeah.
82-80 they finished this season.
Yeah, you were kind of trying to be charitable in that and saying 84
Saturday
wins.
Was so fun.
Yeah, I know you did. You got petty as hell.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah. You had all the receipts and you were tweeting people.
That's funny because people were like, I see, boy, you really kept all those receipts. I'm like, no. I went to the video I made and just looked at everybody who replied to it. That's all you have to do.
Plus, even if you did keep receipts, I think sometimes, I think it's a tell of how lazy they are. Like, yeah, it doesn't. I didn't have to consult a team of accountants to go back and dig through these things, you know? It's a button on my phone. Oh, that's how obsessed you are, huh? Like,
I did the video. I didn't want to play the whole video just because it's too long. But I did a video on Saturday, and I let in as, like, condolences. Like, somebody died last night. Yeah. I was really downtrodden. And after about 30 seconds, I just started cracking up, saying, the Minnesota Twins playoff chances. I had so many people come up to me at the pregame show yesterday. They're like, dude, I was all ready to go to text you. I'm really sorry for your loss.
A lot of people thought it was me. Because I'd gotten my...
Yes!
Because especially, depending on when they saw it, I had my accident this weekend where my face was all bloody. So people saw that.
Can we acknowledge Seth for surviving that traumatic incident at the airport on Saturday?
I might be concussed right this moment.
Well, you're having a hell of a show.
It wasn't at the airport. It was at Greenway Plaza.
Oh, it was right here?
It was in the Edwards Cinema building. I was walking over to Chipotle.
Oh, my
and I was
goodness.
So I was walking out through the exit. But there was like the traffic was kind of weird. There was a whole weird. So I kind of
was at the airport.
So I was walking out where they have the gate, And somebody was there was a car that was leaving, and I walked out behind this car as it was exiting because I wanted to take as efficient a route to Chipotle as possible.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I didn't have my phone out, stone cold sober, without realizing I didn't know what was at the arm. The barrier arm came down on my head.
Yes,
and. I was
dude,
like,
that could have been so much worse.
Yeah, my face was bleeding, and I didn't know if I had a concussion or not. That was the hardest hit I've taken to the head since playing football.
Wow.
And
did you still go get a burrito?
Of course I did. I walked into Chipotle, and I should have gotten this woman's name.
With the crimson mask.
But again, I did. I walked in, and I'm like, and the thing is, where that Chipotle is, like, they get a lot. I'd say probably once a day they get some dude walking in there with blood on his face, wanting to use the bathroom, and I'm like, I gotta look as upright a citizen as possible as I walk into this Chipotle with blood on my face.
Oh my god, dude!
But the girl at the counter couldn't have been more nurturing.
Really?
Oh my god,
Florence Nightingale making a burrito.
Like, you're gonna eat this here, right? You should sit down, and I'll check on you if you need.
Wow.
After I cleaned up my face, but yeah.
Florence Nightingale
but
effect.
I didn't get her name, and that's how I know I was concussed.
Well, you'll be back at Chipotle at some point this week,
I have no memory of what she looks like or anything. I'm not actually sure
It'll trigger in your brain. You'll remember. All right. That was Acknowledge Me. We enjoy that, doing that each and every week. Hey, Sunday Night Football last night. How are we feeling about the version of the Bills we're going to get after they were run off the field last night by the Ravens? We'll take our first peek ahead to Week 5. That's coming up next.
It's a
Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, Seth just told the story in the previous segment. We're going to hand things over to Mark Vandermeer and John Harris at the top of the hour. Seth just told his story about how the parking garage gateway arm of the parking garage across the street from our station, which is the parking garage for a big movie theater.
Here. It was a it was the it's called a barrier arm. This because I had to Google it when I tried to explain to my wife what had just happened.
When it nearly decapitated.
I was
going
to text her, and I didn't want her to be. I didn't want to be. If I had called her, she might have been more alarmed. So I was like, okay, how do I explain this without her being? As I also sent her a picture of my bloody face.
Right. So you were walking over to Chipotle to go get some lunch or whatever the case may be. And you when you walked into Chipotle, you had blood dripping down your face, but the woman behind the counter, the burrito artiste behind the counter.
The baritista, yes.
Yeah, she was remarkably calming and soothing to you, more so than you thought you would be. Someone on a text page said her name was Florence Knighton Guac. It's so stupid.
What if they had done? What if she had? Turns out it's an old Mexican folk medicine treatment to pack it with guacamole. I'm down there on the floor of the Chipotle. They're packing my face with guacamole. There was something extra soothing about it that she was Hispanic. I don't know what it was, but like she spoke with a little bit of an accent.
This is where I wish,
oh my gosh.
Save that for tomorrow when Lopez is here for the toss.
I don't know what it was. It's a positive stereotype, I suppose. I don't know what it was, but it felt extra soothing because she was Hispanic and she had an Hispanic accent, and it felt extra nice that she was like nurturing me.
Just picturing you stumbling into Chipotle with a crimson mask going, I'll take double rice, double steak.
I hadn't ordered ahead. I had to go.
Sour cream.
No. I went to the bathroom and I was like, please, I hope this isn't locked right now. I hope I don't have to go up and ask for the key or something.
Yeah.
And it was actually pretty. It's a nice, the Richmond Chipotle, Richmond Wesleyan had a nice clean bathroom with plenty of paper towels. Hand sanitizer?
Yeah, that's
which
big.
Hurt, but I slapped it. I cleaned it off, and I slapped some alcohol on there.
You had a Band-Aid on there yesterday, but now it's...
Now it's just
it's healing good, man.
I'm nervous because you got your, you get these infections these days.
Yes.
So I cleaned the hell out of it.
Yeah, it's smart. That was smart. Yeah, I got to go back for my checkup today on my elbow. It's getting better.
Yeah, I know.
It's getting better. It still hurts to lean it on the table.
I still feel like if it doesn't get better in 2 days, you should amputate it.
The whole, arm.
Yeah, just from the elbow down.
Or elbow down?
Just from the elbow down. Okay, yeah. You got to make sacrifices in this world, Chuck.
I can see that, yeah.
I had to start my live stream late because of my bloody face.
Same thing. I can amputate my arm, you start your live stream late. It's the same genre. Were you rooting for any particular outcome with the Bills and the Ravens last night?
Yes.
Based on the Bills coming here this weekend?
I wanted exactly what happened to happen. And
they got smoked.
Right. I
run off the field.
I wanted a reminder that, okay, no team in the NFL is infallible. On any given Sunday, you can win. But just for the emotional benefit of us fans, but then I think B, also, it's nice for the Texans to see, I don't want to call it a blueprint, but to have some of the weaknesses exposed. And then especially, look, Derrick Henry running for, was it 199 yards?
199
yards.
87 yards on his first carry.
We got a little tease of Joe Mixon coming back. We thought Joe Mixon might have come back this past week. Now I'll be surprised if he's not back for this Bills game.
That's what I wanted to ask you, because offensively, they pounded the Bills.
Yeah.
Defensively, they were chasing Josh Allen all over the field, forcing him into some bad decisions, running all over the place. I mean, he was bedraggled by the end of that game. And that's what I know we got all week to talk about this, but we're talking about it right now. Like, how much of what the Ravens do and did to the Bills last night even applies to the Houston Texans?
Right, defensively, they don't
operate completely
on the
different
same
offensive
level. No.
Teams.
I think that's one of the things that has been a little bit of a letdown is that the pass rush, despite the Texans having a bunch of sacks going into yesterday's game, it hasn't been as menacing a pass rush as the sack total would suggest.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was just because of the one huge game where they Bears. Had seven sacks versus the Bears. So when you look at, and I know these next-gen stats show that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson have as many. Those next-gen stats are garbage when it comes to pressures.
Okay.
They just measure, I think it's based on GPS and how close you get to a quarterback. So, there is another level to unlock with the pass rush. And I think some of it is the Texans are they're trying to play with a disciplined pass rush and squeeze the pocket, which is good. But there does also sometimes need to be like, all right, no, you just get deep into the backfield as much as possible. And then the defensive tackles need to be responsible for if Danielle Hunter flushes the quarterback, then somebody else pick up the scraps. They can be better as pass rushers. Yesterday, the pass rush could have been better.
They were quiet yesterday.
Versus some bad offensive tackles.
Trevor Lawrence got hit three times the whole game. Their only sack was Eric Murray coming off the edge.
Yeah.
Should have acknowledged Eric Murray. Hey, Ben, real quick.
No.
Acknowledge me.
He had the corner blitz sack, and he had the pass breakup that got the ball back.
Right. Here's where I am with Eric Murray and Jalen Petrie right now. Like Jalen Petrie especially. I think Jalen Petrie is kind of indicative of where the team is as a whole. Jalen Petrie does some things really, really well, but Jalen Petrie is not good in man coverage. This is my concern going back to training camp. I don't want to call him a slot corner because he's not. And when he's tasked with covering the slot and man, nope, that's not who he is. He's more of a tiny linebacker, and he's really good at that part of his job, but they got to start figuring out ways. And Christian Harris coming back, I think, can help in that regard.
And the Toa looks like a real NFL linebacker.
Toa is just a night and day
difference.
You
got three guys you can put out there.
So there's I'm not panicking over it. It's just they've got to figure some things out in coverage to cover up Jalen Petrie's weaknesses, because he's not a cornerback playing nickelback. Yeah. It's just there's weaknesses there. Because he made some great plays yesterday, too.
Yeah.
You know, like there's certain things he can and cannot do.
Christian Harris could be back this week. We're 4 weeks in.
Yeah.
That's the window. So we'll see what happens with that. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. We are done. We are out of time. John Harris and Mark Vandermeer, it is a Texans Monday here on Sports Radio 610. They are up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.